And let's hear the word of God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, in this passage of God's word, we're brought face to face with the reality and the power of prayer. Paul is commanding the people in Philippi to be people of prayer. Now, much has been said about prayer. The famous writer E.M. Bounds said there can be no substitute and no rival for prayer. Many persons believe in the efficacy of prayer, but not many pray. Isn't that true? There's not one in this meeting today who would say they don't believe that prayer is essential. They don't believe that prayer changes anything or everything. But I wonder this morning, could we call ourselves prayer warriors? Philip Henry said, pray alone. Let prayer be the key of the morning and the bolt at night. The best way to fight against sin is to fight on our knees. Now, some men of old have commended us very much to prayer, but we want to go back to the book of the Philippians to see exactly why Paul tells the people to pray. If you were to read the book of Philippians for the first time and you knew nothing about the background or where it was written, you would be surprised to find that it was written in a prison cell. That surprise would come because the overwhelming theme throughout the book of Philippians is a theme of joy. Be joyful. Rejoice. Be content with such things as you have. Rejoice in the Lord. And the Apostle Paul here is writing from a prison cell. He's in prison for the sake of the gospel, and this is not the first time he has been in prison. And yet here he is, in the place of hardship, hasn't done anything wrong, but circumstances have found him there. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones once wrote, sooner or later in life, we all meet with our prison house experiences. It may be a sick bed, or a hospital, it may be an accident. It may be grief or sorrow. Something puts us there. We're in that prison and we cannot avoid it. And you know what I'm talking about, child of God. You know what it's like to be in a prison house of circumstances. Perhaps it is sickness, something that you have to face in your body. Perhaps it is a change in circumstances. Perhaps it is the loss of a loved one. You're in that prison house experience. Nothing you can do can change circumstances. Oh, there are many mornings when we wake up and we wish we could just roll over again and pull the quilt over our heads because we don't want to face the circumstances of that day. They're not what we would personally choose. They're not, humanly speaking, what we would choose. They're difficult days. They are hard days. They are prison house days. Well, you know, God's word tells us exactly what we ought to do in those days. It tells us that we're to be prepared for those days, we're to face those days, and how we're to face them. In fact, if you read through Scripture, you'll find that whenever the child of God is in the prison house, often that is when they experience a greater depth in their relationship with their Saviour. They grow close to the Lord. Do you remember Peter was put in prison for preaching the gospel? And that night he had the very privilege of seeing one of the hosts of heaven come down and open the very gates of the prison, and he could walk out a free man. Paul in prison in Philippi allowed him to see God shake the prison house with an earthquake, to see a soul born again of the Spirit of God, the jailer in Philippi. Joseph in the Old Testament was put in prison. He hadn't done anything wrong, and yet we find that the Lord was with Joseph. See, friend, there's the secret. If you're a child of God, don't look at your circumstances to judge if the Lord is with you or not, but rather look at God's word. And the promise to God's child this morning is this: I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And if you're saved and you're in the mountaintop this morning, or you're in the valley, or you're in the place of freedom, or you're in the prison house this morning, if you're saved, God is with you. The Lord is with you, and he will lead you, and he will guide you, and he will bring you through the prison house experience into victory. What does a child of God do whenever they face the prison house experience? Whenever the phone call comes, it changes everything. Whenever the news comes from the doctor, whenever something happens in your life that you can't replace or you can't fix or you can't take back, what happens then? Child of God, what do? Where do you go? Well, God's word tells us here in verses 6 and verse number 7, the first thing that you do is found in verse number 6. Whenever the prison house experience comes, when difficulties and trials and troubles come into your life, here's the first thing that you do. You be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Now, what does that mean? Well, the word careful could be also translated anxious. In fact, the word has the idea of being pulled about in many different directions. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt that you have so many things in your life that take hold in you? Maybe you have children and those responsibilities are there. Maybe you have a job and you have a husband and a wife and those responsibilities are there. And looking after your home and trying to manage your life and you're being pulled in many different directions. Well, that's exactly what that word means. Don't be standing in circumstances and worried about everything. Don't be anxious about everything. Why? Why does the Holy Spirit cause Paul to write these words, be anxious for nothing, be careful for nothing? Why? Why can I say to you this morning, child of God, no matter what you're facing, be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing? Why? Because your Heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of. God knows what you need. God knows your circumstance. He's a sovereign God. What has come into your life has been allowed to come to pass by the sovereignty and the grace of God, and God will bring you through it. And if you are a person who is anxious about everything that's going on around you, and if you take your time up with worry and concern and with care, then you rob yourself of what is rightfully yours in Christ Jesus. You rob yourself of what the Lord Jesus Christ desires to give to you. You'll see, you'll find that in this epistle, it's a hymn of praise. There's praise to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. And Paul praises the Lord for who he is and for the promises that are found in God's word. And friend, if you're a person of anxiety and you're a person of worry and you're more concerned about your circumstances than about the Lord, then you've lost your praise. And there's nothing more miserable than a Christian who is not praising the Lord. I wonder this morning, is that the mark of your life? Is it a mark of praise? Friend, this morning, if we just stand back and realize who we are in Christ. We once were bound for hell, but because of the work of the Holy Spirit within our lives, applying the Word of God effectually to our hearts and drawing us on to Him and giving us the desire to call out in Christ for mercy. Remember the night you prayed for forgiveness? Do you remember the night you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to wash your sins away? Do you remember the night you got saved? You were transformed from darkness to light. You were changed from a sinner into a saint. You're now someone who's on your way to heaven. You have an eternal salvation. You can never be plucked out of the Father's hand. Your past will never be remembered against you again. We ought to be praising the Lord for who we are in Christ. Sadly, many of us are so taken up with the things that are going on around us that praise is not the first thing on our lips. Do you know, whenever we pray to the Lord, the first thing and part of our prayer ought to be praise. Lord, thank you that I'm saved. Thank you, Lord, that you're in control. Thank you, Lord, that you know everything. Thank you, Lord, that you care for us. You know, the hymn writer said, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. But not only that, you lose your joy. Friend, if you're not a praising Christian, if you're not someone who can praise the Lord and say hallelujah for what the Lord has done for me and for what the Lord is doing for me, then you've lost your joy also. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. In fact, verse number 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Here's a man in prison. And he's saying, friend, no matter what your circumstances, be joyful in the Lord. And the reality is this, the believer's joy comes not through circumstances, but through Christ. He is the source of your joy. And therefore, whenever you are looking at Christ, you will be joyful. You know, joy and anxiety cannot coexist. They both, you can't have that same emotion of joy and anxiety at the one time. Praise the Lord, we can have joy in Christ in every circumstance. But then you see, there's also something else we lose. We not only lose our praise and we not lose our joy whenever we're worried and anxious about things, but we lose our confidence. We lose our confidence. Is that not true of someone who's a worrier? They have a lack of confidence. And friend, if you start to worry more about your circumstances and concern yourselves more about your circumstances than you do about the Lord and who He is, then you will find that you will lose your confidence. You'll find that you'll start to worry. Does God know what's going on? Does He understand? Does He care? I'm glad the hymn writer was able to say He's bigger than all my problems. And He's bigger than all my fears. He's bigger than any mountain that I can or I cannot see. The hymn writer also said, oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are dreary, the days are weary. I know my Savior cares. My Savior does care. And friend, if you're looking at your circumstances rather than your Savior, oh, how sad, because you've lost your praise, you've lost your joy, and you will lose your confidence. You see, the command of Scripture is very clear. 366 times in God's Word, He says, fear not, be not afraid, fear ye not. 366 times. And the reason for that is this. The Lord desired us to be a people who have our faith and trust in our God. Do you remember at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, whenever the Lord spoke to the people, He told them, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? In other words, which of you, by worrying about your height, can cause yourself to grow taller? None of you. It's in the hands of God. Therefore, do not take care for these things. Do not be anxious for these things. Satan desires that the child of God will be worried and taken up with things of anxiety. But we find here that the Word of God tells us that we're to fear not. We're to fear not. Be not afraid. Why? Because your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of these things. And then the Lord Jesus Christ went on to say in that passage, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Your friend, I believe if you put Christ first in your life and you honour Him in your life and you give Him the place that He commands and deserves in your life, then your life falls into place. Even in the difficult times, even the difficult circumstances, you know that God is in control. Is that not what the writer to the Hebrews was saying? How to run the race? We run the race with patience, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking on to Jesus. The Olympics are just over. You watch those who are running. And friend, their eyes weren't in the crowd, and they weren't in the television cameras, and they weren't on their feet. They were in the finishing line. They were in the goal. They had one focus, the end mark. And so it is for the child of God, looking on to Jesus. Oh yes, we have to deal with problems. We have to have reality whenever problems and difficulties come into our life. But here's what God's Word says. When difficulties come, the first thing that you do is not worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. The second thing that you do is found in verse number 6 also. It says, but, here's the alternative. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now it says here, in everything. Everything. That's a precious thing for the child of God. In everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Is there something that's too small or insignificant for me to bring to God? No. No, there's not. My Savior cares. Is there something too great for me to bring to God? No. Friend, there's not anything too big for you to bring to God. And therefore, in everything, we're to come to God in prayer. Notice there are three words there in that verse that describe the way we're to approach God in prayer, in supplication, and with thanksgiving. Now that word prayer speaks of devotion, adoration and worship. That's what it really means. And friend, whenever we come to God in prayer, our first thought ought to be, let us give our devotion to God, our worship to God, our adoration. The first thing we ought to do is praise Him for who He is and what He is and what He's done. And then it says there, supplication. And that word supplication means an earnest sharing of our needs and our problems. After you praise the Lord, and you thank the Lord for who He is, then you're to bring your problems to the Lord. And it's the thought here of getting to the point. Getting to the point. How wonderful when God's people pray specifically because they will get specific answers to their prayers. I love it whenever there's people and they pray specifically by name for those who need to be saved. I love that. And the reason for that is this, whenever that prayer is answered, the honour and the glory goes to the Lord. Prayer's been answered. In fact, one of my best friends today is someone who was prayed for in our prayer meetings for years. And I remember that name being brought week after week after week after week. Maybe some thought, will he be saved? Thank God he is. Good on with the Lord. A friend gets to the point, you know, somebody can pray for 20 minutes and pray nothing. They waffle. Here's the command of God's word. Supplicate. Be specific. Be specific. And then there's another thing here, and perhaps this is the one we could agree with. Devotion to the Lord, we can agree with supplication for requests. But look what it says. This is another part of God's word. It says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Here is the thing that ought to mark every prayer of the child of God, with thanksgiving. Oh, hold on a wee minute now. What if I'm in difficulty? Well, God's word says here, in everything, with thanksgiving. But what if I'm sick? In everything with thanksgiving. What if I've lost a loved one? My heart's breaking. God's word says, in everything with thanksgiving. What do we thank God for in times of difficulty? Well, we thank Him that while our circumstances have changed, He's remained the same. The same yesterday. And today and forever. We thank Him that even though there is hurt and heartbreak within us, there's a balm of Gilead to be applied to the soul. We thank Him that even though it seems that there's no way through, there's a word that is faithful and true. There are promises to be claimed. Our God will not forsake us nor cast us off. In fact, you'll find in the book of Daniel that it was Daniel who thanked the Lord even in his day of trial, even in his prison house experience. Do you remember that whenever Daniel came before the king was tricked into making a decree that no one was allowed to pray to any other god other than the king. And whenever Daniel went into his house knowing that the writing was signed, knowing that the den of lions was the result of those who disobeyed the command, here's what God's word says. When Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks. And gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel gave thanks to God, knowing that the very thing he was doing would certainly end him in the lion's den. You see, I believe that Daniel had faith in God and was giving thanks that firstly God could deliver him, or if it wasn't God's will to deliver him, God would give him the grace to see it through. And friend, that's true for you and it's true for me. There are circumstances which God will give us deliverance from. Hallelujah. But there are other circumstances, like the present house circumstances, that we will not be delivered from, but we'll have to go through. But you know what? They, and God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. So no matter what we face, we know that God is on our side. We know that God will do us good. We know that God will be glorified and our good will be sought. You see, circumstances didn't change Daniel's heart of thankfulness. And sometimes God's people can act like spoiled children. Whenever the going gets a little bit tough, or whenever things maybe don't work out exactly as they had planned, they huff. They get cold with God. They give the cold shoulder. They let on as if what God has done has displeased them. But friend, here's the mark of somebody who's going on with God. Here's a mark of a spiritual Christian. They're a thankful people. No matter how difficult, no matter how dark, friend, there's always something for you to thank the Lord for. There's always something for you to thank the Lord for. And I thank God that He is worthy of all our praise and all our worship. As the hymn writers say, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. We've won, and often we use it for the wrong reasons. And therefore, what is being said in this passage of God's word, friend, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. If this world from you withholds of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in God's word how He feeds a little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Friend, have you a burden this morning? Have you difficulty? Have you a trial? Have you a prison house experience? Have you sickness? Have you mourning? Have you decisions to make? Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. He will answer. Have you asked? First thing, don't be anxious. Second thing, take it to the Lord in prayer. The thirdly, in verse number 7, and finally, here's the result of a Christian who prays about their circumstances. It says here that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, many people say prayer changes things. And in many ways that's true. Prayer does change things if it's the will of God. But you can have a million people praying for one thing, and if it's not God's will, it won't be changed. But I like to say this, prayer, yes, changes things, but more importantly, prayer changes me. Changes me. And when God's people pray, God's people are changed. Why are there people who are on fire for the Lord? It's because they pray. Why are there people who have given up all to go to a foreign land and seek to win souls for Christ? Friends, because they were praying. God didn't call a missionary when they were sitting in front of the Coronation Street. He called them in the prayer meeting. He called them in the place of personal devotion. And friend, we need to pray as God's people. And here's what we receive. Peace that passeth all understanding. I love this phrase. Because what it's saying is this. The child of God has a peace that the world doesn't understand. And humanly speaking, the child of God shouldn't have this peace if they looked at their circumstances and realised the circumstances they were in. But you see, the child of God who's in prayer isn't just looking at their circumstances. They're looking to God. And He is the Prince of Peace. He is the giver of peace. This is peace that only God can give. This is peace that the world cannot take away. And friend, He is the only giver of peace. You see, sometimes we have issues and we have problems and we go to our friends and our friends can chat about it, but they can't give us peace. God can. God can. Peace. Peace that passes all understanding. What is it that allows a Christian to stand at the grave of a loved one and still say to God, "By the glory, great things they have done," it's because they're walking with God. They've given it to God. They prayed about that. And the Lord give them peace. Oh, peace of passive understanding. I never forget about, 2 weeks before I went into Bible college. And I started in 2007. About 2 weeks before I went in, I had to go for an operation in the city hospital. Now, I do not like hospitals. And I don't like needles anymore. And I have to confess, I was anxious. And I remember getting the letter. And I got the letter at home. It was an operation just above, or below my stomach. And I read the letter, and they were going to do it through keyhole surgery. I was going to be awake through the whole thing. And I read through the whole sheet of what was happening. Well, I nearly passed out, and I was 40 miles away from the hospital. And I can assure you, see, for the next few weeks, that was in the back of my mind, niggling me. I knew I had to go for it. I knew it was for the good, but, oh, I tell you, it really bothered me. I went down in the bus that morning to the hospital and got changed and got into the bed, and they came to put the line in. Now, I'm not proud to tell you this, but I'll have to tell you just to know how bad it was. It took 6 nurses and 1 doctor to sit with me. I had 2 nurses at my feet, 2 at the middle, 2 at the top, holding me down, and 1 doctor who said, "You're the second worst person I've ever dealt with in my life." And I said, "Do you need this in?" He goes, "No, if something goes wrong, we need to put you out during the operation." I was like, I'm willing to risk it. And he said, "No, it's going in." And when I got it in, I worried about getting it out for the rest of the couple of hours. But you know what? My head was going, it was getting worse and worse. I was lying, I was about to go down to the theatre. I knew I was getting injections, I knew this was coming. And I remember I was at the point where I was almost ready to say no. And I remember being wheeled down to theatre, and my heart was going, and my mind was going, and I just remember praying, "Lord, please do something for Lord. I can't face this alone. Lord, I'm going to go crazy. Lord, I know I can't go through this. And I'm praying, Lord, that you'll just do something." I didn't even know what to pray for, but I prayed, "Lord, will you just step in and do something?" I'll never forget when they lifted me off the bed onto the theatre table. I remember literally the peace of God filling me. Now, friend, I don't know. I actually asked them, had they given me something? Because I felt calm. I remember lying in that bed. And I remember just in my head singing. Not out loud, but just in my head. And I was singing, "There is coming a day." And that verse, you know, "There'll be no sorrow there. No more burdens to bear. No more sickness. No more pain." And I was saying, "Hallelujah. That is a real hymn to me now. I'm going to sing it with conviction next time." And I remember lying on that table, and friend, I have to say this with all honesty. One of the most awful experiences I've ever gone through. But I can say this, it's one of the times I felt closest to my Saviour. It's one of the times I felt the Lord standing near to me. And you know, I thank God he went through with me. I remember coming out of there and just thanking the Lord and thinking to myself, I don't ever want to have to go through that again, but I know for sure that there's a Lord who will come through with me. And friend, he will. And perhaps you're sitting here thinking, "What's wrong with that wee fella? It's only hospital. That was my difficulty." Friend, you mightn't have a difficulty going to hospital, but you will have a prison house experience at some point that you will have to go through. And it will be difficult. And you'll not know where to turn. But friend, I urge you, be anxious for nothing. Take it to God in prayer, and he will give you peace that passeth all understanding. And finally, it says here, a heart, and he shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And friend, that's true. He'll keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. You know, he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And if you're saved, you can claim the promises of God, and you can know peace of heart and soundness of mind, and you can know what it is to be just kept by the Lord. Friend, that's a precious place to be. A precious place to be in every circumstance. Friend, whenever we reach difficulties in the days that lie ahead, here's what you remember. I am my Saviour's child. I'm safe in the hollow of His hand. He knows me, cares for me and loves me. And He brings me through every circumstance, including this one, including today. And He brings me right through to glory. And that's why the hymn writer can say, things that once were wild alarms cannot now disturb my rest. Closed in everlasting arms, pillowed on the loving breast, oh, to lie forever there. Doubt and fear and self-resign, while He whispers in my ear, I am His and He is mine. Praise God, He is. Friend, if He's yours this morning, there's nothing to fear, because He's promised He'll never leave us nor forsake us. If you're not saved this morning, friend, I urge you. We sang, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. And neither there is. This is the friend you need. The Saviour from sin. Died and shed His precious blood on the cross of Calvary for those who do not know Him. My friend, if you'll turn from your sin this morning and call on Him for mercy, you'll know sins forgiven. Peace with God. A home in heaven. And I trust and pray that each of us will leave this house this morning knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting Him for the circumstances of the day. Amen.